day of pain. It's a day of suffering. And we're not going to get graphic tonight because we have kids here, but this is the real deal. This really happened. And, you know, all of us have days like that, don't we? All of us have moments like that. All of us have seasons of pain, seasons of suffering. And on Good Friday, not only do we remember the cross, but we remember that Jesus has literally gone into every ounce of our pain, and we can find resolve in that, right? And so that's Friday, and then tomorrow is Saturday. Tomorrow is a day of silence, right? And so Jesus went to the grave, and it seemingly on Saturday looked like death won the victory over Jesus. And so tomorrow we're celebrating that day of silence. And don't we all have days of silence where it seems like God has spoken something and even sacrificed for something, but yet we're in the middle of kind of both. And so we can relate on Saturday, that Jesus can relate with us, that there are moments when we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand why this is happening in our life. We don't understand why this tragedy just took place. And we can relate with that with Jesus on Saturday. But we all know that Sunday is coming. Come on, somebody. It's Sunday, yeah. And so, and Sunday, of course, is resurrection. It's that Jesus overcame death. He is alive today. We are celebrating that. And because He is alive, anyone and everyone who puts their faith and their trust in Jesus will be saved. And when you die on this earth, just as we just sang in the hymn, you will see Him, and He will say that you are righteous in His eyes. All righteous means is that you are right standing with Him. This is because of what He's done for us. And so we as believers, the reason why we can walk around hope is that even when we have moments like Friday of pain and suffering, and even when we have moments like Saturday of just absolute grief and loss and not understanding why, we all know that Sunday's coming. Come on, we all know that Sunday's coming. And that's huge to us. But tonight is Good Friday. And tonight is a night that we remember that Jesus actually paid the price. He went to the cross. He freely gave Himself for you, for me, for our world. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight is Good Friday.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah, give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is. But all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, or you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. God knew that. Jesus stood there,
silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No. It was the love of the Heavenly Father.
When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? You feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell and the urges of sin. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me and say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I say, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sins. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. When I give him my sin, I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. I stand a free man. All the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were going to set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If His blood is sufficient for your salvation, His blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
This is the gospel. The scandalous grace of God. That God looked at all over humanity and our sin, our sickness, and our decay, and our own living for ourselves, and He paid the price on the cross. People say, where is God's love? I can tell you that the most clearest, best picture of the love of God is in the cross of Christ. Because it's in the cross that we find salvation. It's in the cross where we see love poured out at its fullest. It's in the cross that we see humility at its finest. It's in the cross where we see Jesus willfully bearing our sins at the cross. And it's at the cross where we get the prophecy of Isaiah. When he said this in Isaiah 53, do we have it on the screen? He said this, he said, he was despised and he was rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem. Listen to this, man. Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God. We thought he was stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And then Isaiah prophesies about us, if we're honest with ourselves. He says, we all of us, every person. This is why Easter means so much to us. Because it's not just about our church. It's not just about our little family. All, everybody, every person we're in contact with, the Bible says in Isaiah. It says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And if we're honest with ourselves, each one of us has turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on Him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Come on, man. This is unbelievable. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. We should be oppressed and afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will. God, thank you so much. To crush him. To cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering, this an offering for our sin. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Because of Jesus going to the cross for us, God's people now can prosper. That our days are going to be prolonged because of what Jesus has done. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds we are healed. And tonight I want to do just a couple things together. Does everybody have this sheet that should have been on your seat cushion? If you do not have one, lift up your hand and we'll get you one. And then you'll need a pen as well. And if we could raise the house lights just a little bit for people to be able to write. You probably already know what the question is, don't you? It's on the sheet. But here's my question. I want this to be personal for you. What does the cross mean to you? What does the cross mean to you? And on the back of it, I want you to take a moment right where you are. You can reflect and take your time. You get a few minutes here. And I want you to write down what the cross might mean to you. And then in just a second, when you feel ready, the worship team's going to come back up. And we have these pins here. And we're going to hand you a pin. And then you're going to pin the back of it, whatever it is. You're going to pin it right on here. And we're going to fill the whole cross on what it means to us as we remember Jesus paying it all for us. Here's my question. What does the cross mean to you? If you're with your kids, you can grab them and do this together. And then when you feel ready, however long it takes, you can go get right out of your seat and come up here, and when you come up, you'll pin it onto the board up here, the cross, and then come and grab a communion cup. And then you can make your way back to your seat. We're going to take communion together tonight. And if you're here tonight and you don't feel comfortable with this, you're here tonight, maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, I fully respect you and honor you. I'm so glad you're here tonight. Just be respectful and let people get through the aisle. And then take your time at the cross, too. We don't have to rush anything tonight, but worship team, I need you guys to come back up. What does the cross mean to you? And then once you go to come this way and pick up a communion cup, please. Ushers, if you could help me. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Bring your communion cup back to your seat.